Good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. Sun's shining. I am Pastor Chris, and it's a delight to be together. We are in a series called Shape, Engaging God's Work in You. And so what we're going to talk about today is God's work in you. It's something that He is already at work. And so we started off with this question. By the way, SHAPE stands for your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. God's shaping all of that because He wants to be able to use you for eternal purposes. He wants to change people's lives through you. And so we started off with asking ourselves, where do you fit? With what God's doing in the world, where do you fit? We found out that for every believer, you are His artwork. You are His masterpiece. He's at work in you. He's creating you for good works, which He prepared beforehand to do. So not only is He at work in you, He has work He's already prepared for you to do. The pressure is not on you, the pressure's on Him. And so we get to follow that and discover that. That's what we're trying to do in this series. And then last week, we asked this question. This is kind of a bigger one for our church. So if you're new with us today, you can learn a little bit about what we're all about. Last week, we asked the question, all right, so this one equipped family, we're changing our structure, we're working on our shape, we've signed up for all these ministry hours, we're doing all of this together, and if it all works, what's this all for? What's this about? And it's all about that we're going to love God, we're going to love people. That's what it's for. That's what we're doing. And whether we do a really good job of all of that stuff or we stumble along the way, we know what we're doing. We're going to love people. That's what our family is about. That's what God has called us to do. And so today we get to jump into the shape. We're going to talk a little bit about this spiritual gift. What is it? How do you discover it? We're going to talk a little bit about your heart. How does that impact this journey that we're on? So let's go ahead and jump right in. The keys to spiritual gifts. First, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you a little bit about spiritual gifts, a little bit about the heart. Then we're going to have somebody come up, a couple of people come up and share a bit. And then we are going to tell you, hey, how can you respond? What can you do from there? So let's jump in. They are given, spiritual gifts are given by grace. In other words, you don't deserve them. You don't work for them. You don't go, hey, God, I did this, this, and this, so I get the better gifts, or what gifts do I get? They're given to you even though you don't deserve them. They're given by grace, and then they're practiced by faith. They're practiced by believing Jesus for what He says is true about you, about the world, about life. It's practiced by faith. The Bible says we have different gifts according to the grace. This is in Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, do you remember playing sports? Maybe it was something else for you, but for me it was playing sports. My ninth grade year, football, had played a little bit in junior high, but ninth grade year, it's a ninth and tenth graders. So you go out, you go to practice, you practice for a month, and then we start having games. First game, I don't get in. Second game, I don't get in. Third game, for the kickoff, coach said, hi, get in. And I'm jumping up and down. I can't wait to get out there. I can't believe it. I finally get to play. Well, guess what? God has invited you to get into the game. He has said, I don't want you sitting on the bench. I, by grace, want you to be a part of my team. Each of us have been given different gifts, these spiritual gifts, by grace. If your gift, and then it says this, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. Now that word might throw you off a little bit. You may have heard all kinds of things about what prophesying is. I'm just going to give you a few things. Number one, prophesying is primarily speaking the word of God. It's declaring the word of God. So in some ways, when I come up and I teach you the word of God, I'm prophesying the word of God. Now, there's also times, especially in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, before the Bible was completed, where God would speak to people, and then people would take that message and give it to the people. Now, before you say that's your gift, you need to know this. In the Old Testament, if you prophesied and you said, thus saith the Lord, and you were wrong, you were to be stoned. So you can't ever be wrong, right? So I don't do that kind. I do the kind where I'm taking what God has already said in the Bible and then be able to pass it on. So prophesying, but then here's the part we're looking for. Then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Out of your relationship with God. Out of what God says is about you. So your spiritual gift is not actually about you. It's something that's given to you to be used in your relationship with Christ. And it becomes powerful when you use it because you trust Christ, not when you use it to make yourself acceptable or provable or great. It's by grace through faith. Number two, every gift is essential. Every spiritual gift is essential. Now you are the body of Christ. That's us. And each of you is a part of it. And this is given in 1 Corinthians when he's talking about these gifts. So you, each and every one of you, are an essential part of the body of Christ. Now, based on your experience, you might be like, I don't know if that's true. Like, do you wake up on Sunday morning and go, you know what? I cannot wait to get to church so I can use my spiritual gift so I can impact people at Skyline because I know that my gift is essential at Skyline. Or do you wake up and go, oh my goodness, that alarm go off already? Do I want to go to church today? And the whole conversation is about what you want to do, right? Fortunately, you have children. And they made you come. Lots of us, we have that kind of that experience somewhere along the way, right? You're just trying to live life. You're just trying to make it. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective is you're essential. You are the body of Christ. It's what makes the body of Christ so special. Matter of fact, a few verses later in this chapter, he says, listen, the foot can't say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not a part of the body, I'm not important. I'm not crucial. I'm not essential. If I don't have that gift, I'm not essential. He says, the ear can't say because, actually he says, the eye can't say, I'm not the ear, so therefore, I really don't count. I'm not that big a deal. The church is going to be just fine without me. Now, I want you to grab this. I love this. I want you to grab this. Now, We practice this at Skyline. You may have noticed, if you've been around Skyline very long, you know I do not like, we do not praise the people on stage. Like, I don't allow it to happen. And try as much as possible that people do not praise me on stage. You're like, oh, that's because you're so humble. Has nothing to do with that. I love praise. Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that the Bible teaches that I'm not more important than the person who's producing, the person who's over in Clubhouse listening to verses, the person who this morning came in and reset up all the chairs so they're straight. I'm not more important than that person. Our worship team, that was fun this morning, right? They're like, I could just hear, I'm sitting over here. I could hear you guys just get louder and give your heart to it more and more. It's just great. But you notice we don't worship our worship team. Why not? Because of this principle. Now, you might say, well, listen, actually one is more important than the other. If the person doesn't come in and set up the chairs straight, we can have still have church. But if I don't show up and teach, what are we going to do? And that's true. In any organization, there's particular roles that on that given Sunday, those roles need to happen or else it kind of all falls apart. That's true. But you see, this isn't about an organization. This isn't about us putting on a great show. This is about a healthy family. And there's a lot of churches who put on great shows, but they're not healthy. You know why they're not healthy? Because they have a bunch of people who come and they sit in the pews and they watch the show and they go home. And their spiritual gifts never get used. They don't think they're essential. They don't think that what they do matters. They don't understand that spiritual life does not happen because we have a great church service. Healthy families, healthy church families happen because you come and bring your gift, not just on Sunday morning, but all through the week, and you pour into each other. That's how a healthy family happens. And so yours is essential. Number three, spiritual gifts only become fulfilling when we give them away. This is one of the crazy things about the Bible. Jesus says it very clearly. It's better to give than to receive. Which all of us go, yes, yes, yes. And inside go, no, no, no. That's backwards. But it's true. And it's true for your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is not for you. It's not about you. And it's powerful and it's beautiful when it's given away. It says, now to each one, passage said, spiritual gifts only become fulfilling. I'm sorry, a spiritual gift is given to each one so we can help each other. What's the reason for spiritual gifts? It's for the body of Christ. It's not for you. That's the purpose of it. It's for somebody else. It's for the body of Christ. It's not for me. Ourselves, to gratify ourselves. He says, in Romans it says this, and this mentions some of the spiritual gifts. You're like, what are these spiritual gift things? Well, this mentions some of them. It is serving. If it is serving, then serve. This is also called the gift of helps. It's a spiritual gift, the ability to show up and help people, and that impacts them spiritually. I love watching this happen. I love it. You don't get to have the view I have. I get to have the view that I teach you on a weekly basis, and I try to get you to get spiritual things and get you to take spiritual steps, and you don't. You're hard-headed. You come and you listen. It just bounces off and bounces off and bounces off. And then someone comes along and does a help for you. Who knows? Your car breaks down, they show up at just the right time, they stop whatever they're doing, and they come over there and they fix your car. And after they fix your car, that spiritual gift I've been trying to teach you for 2 years, all of a sudden drops into your heart. And you go, you know what? I think God really does love me. I think I should step into what God's calling me to do. I think I'm going to do this toward my wife. Why? Because of the spiritual gift of serving. This is going to be true for every one of these gifts that I talk about. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. Did you know that your ability to give encouragement is a spiritual gift? The ability to talk to people. And when you get done talking to them, they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. If it is giving, then give generously. You'll also notice that almost all these spiritual gifts, that every believer should be doing all of these, but then there's some of us that have this spiritual gift.
They bring about spiritual change because they do it. If it is to lead, to do so diligently. Many of you actually have this gift and you use it like crazy at work, but you don't use it here. And you could make such a difference if you did. If it is show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Did you know that visiting people in the hospital, visiting the sick, encouraging people in that way, that's that gift of mercy. That's a spiritual gift. So that's the spiritual gift. And oftentimes when you practice your spiritual gift, you go, that was nothing. People will go, oh man, that was awesome what you did. Thank you so much. And you're like, that's nothing. Yeah, usually when it's your spiritual gift, you just love it. It does flow from you fairly easily. But what's most amazing about it is the difference it makes in people's lives when you do it. So that's the spiritual gift. We're going to talk a little bit more about how you discover it later. So what about the heart? What about the heart? Very simply, my heart is why I say, why I feel and act the way I do. Listen to these verses. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from their heart. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions or the motives of the heart. And then lastly, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of the heart. In other words, what I say and what I feel and what I act, it comes from my heart. What's my heart? The heart, your heart's not your feelings. The heart's the core of who you are. It's where your convictions and your burden, it's where you exist. It's who you are. You know what's really cool? God created your heart. All these burdens you have, and you're like, this is what I would love to do, and this is what this is where I want to go. Do you know God created that? For a believer, he then gives you a brand new heart. That when you trust God and you believe God, it's your heart and God's heart is one. He's giving you a brand new heart. Another principle, whatever you do, it is good to live with all your heart. It's good to live with all your heart, to give your whole heart to something. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Joy comes from doing anything, almost anything, with your whole heart. So, what do I do with my gift and my heart? Before I answer that question, I've got some folks I want you to come out. They both have some spiritual gifts, and they have an amazing heart. So they're going to get them set up, and I'll be right back. So did I do that smooth? I forgot the questions I was going to ask him. I had to go get him. So first of all, are you involved in ministry? If so, what's the ministry?
Yes, everyone. Oh, I'm Alyxa.
Time out. This is Alyxa and Jessica and George.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alyxa, as Pastor Chris said, and I am the first impressions leader here at Skyline. The ministries I'm involved in are the parking team outside, the hospitality greeters ministry, and our hospitality and our greeters ministry.
I am the assimilation coordinator here at Skyline, and I am involved in concierge as well as baptism team.
I'm in production. I run the computer here, and I keep the speakers on time as well as the whole service in time as well.
So now you know who to blame. Okay, so have you thought much about this spiritual gift thing? And if so, what do you think yours are?
Most definitely, I've given it a lot of thought. My gift, most definite, would be hands down service. As I mentioned, I am part of the greeters and hospitality teams. And for me, my passion is to put the needs of others and my church first. What would that entail? Whether it be that handshake, smile, or hug when you walk through that door, making sure there's enough hot water for your tea, that there's coffee when you walk in at Skyline to make you feel that love. So definitely that for me is being able to service others, putting my needs aside, and making sure that everyone else is being loved.
I originally, when I started serving at Skyline, I didn't actually think about spiritual gifts. I don't think that I knew spiritual gifts. I was a brand new Christian. I was still learning. When I actually started serving, I hadn't even become a Christian yet. So I didn't really know what spiritual gifts were. I kind of just went with what I've always been good at. Organization, administration. I said, let me join concierge because I want to meet new people and I want to learn a little bit more about church and how to grow. And then it just kind of went from there.
Same as Jessica, I never really put much thought into what spiritual gifts were until after learning more. I'd say helps is there, and probably wisdom. In running the computer, I put a lot of detail-oriented thought and lots of focus, paying attention to making sure that the slides run correctly, align up with the service so that it's not distracting. Because I feel like when we come here, we're here to experience God. We don't want any distractions. And when I first started, it was originally about the show, but I realized that what I do really affects people. Maybe they go home and think about what a great experience they had at church. So I just really, I'm thinking about it in a new way.
That's good. Okay, so let's jump to the heart part of it. And so as you dream about, what does your heart just long to see happen?
What I do long to see happen, much like we heard from our host this morning, it's nothing more fulfilling when you see transformation within our people from that introvert to becoming the host here of Skyline, that we can all experience and pray on what is our spiritual gift and what do we do, because our gifts are intent, they're intentional. God gave us these gifts for us, and as we mentioned, is to give forward. So what my long-term dream is that we can all come in tune with our gifts, and in turn, then give them back so that we can all experience God's goodness, all for his kingdom and his glory. And that's all longfully, that's what I long for.
Awesome. I think overall, I just would love, I know, just like Alexa said, I love to see the transformation. I love to see the sparkle in people's eyes as God transforms them from the inside out, and how they just have a heart for serving in whichever way that looks like. So whether it's with the kids, or whether it's a greeter, or whether it's even making a meal for someone at home during the week that really needs one, those are just beautiful, beautiful ways that we glorify God, and that the Spirit uses us to really just show his glory all the time. And for ministry, specifically for ministry, what I love to see here at Skyline is just a robust re-engaged ministry, which is our marriage ministry, because it's just so beautiful. It's so important. It's honestly what changed our lives when we took it 2 years ago, and it opened up spiritual doors that we didn't know could be opened. So that's my dream.
What I'd like to see is just a change in thought about serving in the church from I have to serve to I'd really get to serve. And I know it's always hard getting up in the morning, but after I'm done, I always feel so amazing. So I guess my dream is, if you have a whole church full of people who feel like they get to serve, think about how great everybody would feel and just how powerful we all would be. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I didn't tell them what to say either.
So how do you interact with it? So first, in terms of your spiritual gift, discover it. And we're going to talk about the spiritual gift and the heart kind of together, which is discover it and commit all my life to Christ. And we have a spiritual gift assessment that you're going to be able to take. I'm going to, when I talk about the next step, I'll talk to you a little bit more about what it means to be able to do that. But you can actually go through this assessment. It helps you be able to go, wait a minute, what is my spiritual gift? How would I find that out as we work through it? Spiritual gifts are best found when you're in love with Jesus and trusting Him. This whole idea of a spiritual gift goes hand in hand with a heart that has committed themselves to Christ. Remember, it's by grace through faith. And so, it's very easy to treat the spiritual gift as an intellectual thing. I'm going to find out what it is. It's very easy to interact with it as though it's yours, and you'll miss the whole thing. But if you give your heart to Christ, which, by the way, I've been watching you since the last fall. There's a number of you that Christ has repeatedly come to you and said, hey, I want your heart and your hands. I want you. I want all of it. And you keep getting out of church without giving it to Him. I want to encourage you. He wants those because once you give them to Him, then you become His heart and hands to the people around you. So first is discover it. Second is develop it. And to examine my heart's desire. When you give your heart to Christ, it lights on fire to love and impact people, but is very different for each person. So to develop it or to find out what it is, discover it, takes kind of two things. One is kind of an assessment where you take a look at it and you go, okay, how can I do that? And we have a paper one out there, and it's pages of you really asking questions of yourself. You go down through and ask those questions about all of the shape, the S, the H, A, and A, the P, the E. And then we have on February 18th, on a Sunday afternoon after church, we're going to, if anybody wants to, we'll meet with you and go over this assessment with you so you can find out how you interact with it. For those of you who love to do things online, you can go to your app, and on the app, you'll look for that diamond shape that we have up as part of this. Then, yep, you'll see that. When you see that, you can click on it, and then that'll take you to the assessment, and then you can have some fun working your way through it and kind of get excited about discovering what your shape is. And then the developing it means that you get involved with ministry. So just taking an assessment will not tell you what your spiritual gifts are. It's taking the assessment, and then you get involved in ministry, and two things will happen. You will see where you're making an impact, but the biggest thing that happens is other people will come to you and go, you know, you're really gifted at this. You know, you really make a difference when you do that. And you're able to move forward from that place. Then examine your heart. You know what this really is? It means you're letting your heart be free. You see, your heart is full of burden and desire of what you would want to see happen in other people's lives. Your heart is actually full of how you can impact other people and how you'd love to pour yourselves into it, but it scares you. It scares you because you don't know what's going to cost you, and you don't know where it's going to take you. Which leads you into the next one is you use your gift and you step out in faith. You step out in faith. Every ministry, those three who came up here today, you know when they got started? Scared to death. Didn't know what it was going to cost them. Didn't know where it was going to lead them. But they stepped out in faith and they saw Christ work in their lives in really amazing ways. So use it and step out in faith. four quick, really steps, practically steps that we talked about. One, commit your life to Christ. Let him have the whole thing. Two, take the assessment. Three, give your hands, your heart to Christ. Get involved. And then four, as you get involved, trust Christ in this journey. It was some almost 15, 16 years ago that Skyline had started. And when we started, my kids did the whole children's ministry. And then as the ministry grew, other people came on. And we really needed somebody to take over all of Clubhouse. And somebody, I don't know who did it. I think it was Mary Lou. They recruited Yvette Brabant. Now, here's the interesting thing about Yvette Brabant. She didn't like kids. She didn't like kids. But she is spiritually gifted at leading leaders. And she stepped into that ministry doing exactly what we said. Gave her heart to Christ, gave her hands and feet to Christ, and stepped into that ministry. Two things happened. One, our children's ministry was amazing. And number two, she fell in love with kids. That can happen to you if you'll step into it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for these opportunities. We thank you for spiritual gifts. We thank you for heart. We thank you for shape. And Lord, I pray for our family, our church family. There's all throughout this crowd, there are people, some that are excited, they're ready to go. And a few who you've been tagging them. You've been talking to them. And they just keep going, not yet, Lord, not yet, not all. And this morning's the morning for them to take that step. Lord, just tap them on the shoulder one more time. Look them in the eye. Call them to yourself. Folks, surrender. Give it all. It's a simple but powerful. Jesus, this is not my life. I don't want to be in control anymore. I want to give it to you. In your name we pray. Amen.